Well, howdy, folks. Welcome back once again to the worldwide broadcast of the Ted and Austin Brewer Show. A wild morning, a lot of stuff going on. I think Ted will be with us here in a little bit. I just saw him a minute ago. I don't know where he went, but he'll be back, I promise. Or I'll just run solo. Sometimes you guys like that. I've got a lot of more topics to cover with you guys today, like I always do, so be ready and be prepped for another great show. And also, too, be sure to check out the last day of the sale, the Purple Stick Packets product of the week, on sale for over 18% off right now. Be sure to check that out. And vote for what you want to see win tomorrow. This mic, I got to tighten it up. I tighten it up a lot, and then it gets too tight, and I loosen it up to move it again. I try not to move it a lot while I'm talking. Sometimes I hit it. So just bear with me if you see me moving this thing on a regular basis. But anyways, I digress. Yeah, I just hit it again. If you guys want to check out the health articles too, be sure to check out the weekly health articles we update every single week. And see all the different products we're talking about. It says why hormone disruption is increasing and how targeted nutrients may help restore balance. This is a really good one that Harrison wrote for me the other day that goes into essentially what's happening now with the hormone imbalance from the BPAs, from the microplastics, from the phthalates, from the nanoplastics, from the phytoestrogens, all these different compounds that we're chronically exposed to in the environment through our food, through the air, through the water, through just toxic everything. And now it's really starting to become a significant endocrine disruptor. So this is a great article he wrote for me on here. Goes into detail on why, like, the DIM estrogen control is a really good formula, and why also, too, men, you need to be making sure you're taking proper testosterone support, like the Testo Plus or the Tongat Alloy or the Tribulus, which is one of the top favorites, to really balance that out and make sure you're getting top-tier production testosterone. Because remember, too, and I brought this up the other day to you guys, be really, really cautious if any physician that you actually trust or you're talking to or you think you trust tells you to go on statin drugs ever for any period. And I've reached that point now with it. I had a great conversation with my marketing director yesterday, Michael Barrett, and he was talking about his blood work. And we're constantly talking on a regular basis to everybody that is eating beef and eggs and butter and keeping their testosterone high with those natural foods. And on top of that, taking proper supplements, because the more that you eat, basically this soy protein, goy slop, that they pretty much want to feed everybody, it's just soybean oil, canola oil, phytoestrogen-laden omega-6 fats. All it does is mess up your endocrine system and mess up your hormone balance. So check that article out, and be sure to check out the article we brought up over the last week, which is the Natokinase, going into detail on it, how they're claiming it can actually reduce plaquing in the arteries and possibly may reduce strokes in some individuals. Again, what they said in the study, not my words on here. So be sure to check that out. And also, make sure you're going over here and checking out the podcast platform every single day and getting the updates every day on here along with that. Because you could go up here, see, and click the Brewer Show, and you click the Health Masters Report, and you subscribe to it. Then, on a regular basis, when it goes back, you'll get these articles right to your inbox every single week that we write. We usually try to write at least 1 to 2 articles a week. So these will go right to your inbox, and you get them every single week. So just give you guys a heads up on that. Make sure you're looking out for them. And one of the first articles I wanted to cover here this week, this is interesting. It was going into detail. It says, what happens when teachers are replaced by screens? It says, after a decade of one-to-one devices, some schools are rethinking the screen. They're talking about now how pretty much over the last decade, we shifted from classroom basis with professors, or not professors, with teachers, especially in elementary school and high school. And we're giving these kids now regular iPads. Pretty much everybody I know in mainstream schools, they've been using iPads for most of these younger kids, most of their entire school life. They're always on an iPad. Everything's on an iPad. They take their iPad home. It's got to be plugged in every day. And all this stupid stuff that they're constantly doing now. And they're saying now IQ tests were designed to predict success in school. However, falling IQ scores indicate a decline in cognitive abilities. And they're showing now that essentially Gen Z is the first cohort to score lower than its parents on IQ. Could that be from the iPads? Could it be from the toxic food elements? Could it be from the vaccines? Could it be from everything combined? Possibly. Those are all things to speculate on. But one thing I do know is that eyesight is another factor that is getting addressed now in these topics that nobody's talked about. Most of the time, unless a kid needs corrective vision when they're younger, most kids have pretty good vision. I mean, they could see just about anything if they got good eyes. They don't have any, as far as they've got to wear glasses. They're saying now that young teenagers and young adults are having more eyesight problems than ever before. And that ties back into staring at an iPad 8-9 hours a day at school, then going home and playing video games, then laying on their phone till 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning. Those blue lights are unbelievably detrimental to the retina and the eyes. And that's why we talked about yesterday, the eyesight formula, how good it is for the body. And unfortunately, it's not, it wasn't really supposed to be designed for teenagers and young adults, but apparently that's the case that started to come down now. Because remember, they got everybody really dialed in during COVID as far as focus on the iPad schools and the screen time and the teachers not have to be in class. And they got everybody basically kind of, you know, desensitized to that to make it normal. And in my opinion, they're already talking about a whole type of different restrictions they want to bring together now. A lot of these energy lockdowns the IEA is talking about. I went into detail of that last week. And in my opinion, if they keep doing what they're doing, the United States and Israel, and I say they keep instigating and escalating this giant conflict with Iran. In my opinion, I think some of this is to cause more problems in the energy sector so they can use more excuses to control things and run the prices up. That's the problem that you're watching now. The only issue is going to run into these AI data centers and the AI platforms. They're going to get unbelievably expensive to operate on. So I don't know if that's going to be a double-edged sword. These global banker boys that breathe free air are willing to pay. But I do know this. This has been an intentional control of the energy sector. And this whole topic now that I'm talking about sending the Marines and Rangers into the island in Iran, this whole thing has turned to a giant boondoggle. There's a video that I watched the other day. I was trying to find it earlier. I'll see if I can find it. I'm going to hand it back over to Ted here in a second. And it was some guys that were working with the Pentagon, and they couldn't release the classified information. They were saying what they told Trump and what they told a lot of the people in the administration was that essentially they were going to do a blitzkrieg on Iran. They had 1,000 targets that they were going to come in, and they were going to blitz everything out to a point that Iran thought there was going to be no point in even fighting, and essentially it was just going to be a really, really hyped up Venezuela. And they were going to come in, do a blitzkrieg. Iran was going to surrender. United States was going to take over all the resources of Iran. And apparently that's what they started telling everybody in the staff of the White House. And then Hegseth came in and said, well, we're going to do more. And this is what they claimed on here. And I'll find this video, guys. It's really, really wild. Hegseth came in and said, we're pretty much not going to follow the Geneva Convention. We're going to target schools. We're going to target children's schools. We're going to target hospitals. We're going to do such a psychological impact on Iran that there's not going to be anything in 48 to 72 hours. There's going to be conflict. It's going to be over. We're going to control it. We're going to own it. And it was a complete lie, as you see. But that's what Israel Mossad was relaying to the White House, what the White House was relaying to everybody else. How much of that is factual? I don't know. That's what they said in this video. A lot of that's going to be classified, but that makes a lot of sense on why they tried to do what they did, and now this thing has turned into a gigantic black hole of money that we're just dumping in now. And, of course, Raytheon and Lockheed are excited, though. Their shares are up. How are you doing today, my friend?
Good morning.
I'm on a tension factor, and you weren't here, so I just opened up and ran.
I'm on sticker shock.
Sticker shock? What happened to you?
You know, I've swapped out so many hot water heaters in my life.
I haven't bought a hot water heater in 6 years.
No.
I built my house.
Well, my house has got a hot water heater. It's kind of rusty looking. And so I have to exchange a bladder tank. So I was going to get them to come over and swap out a hot water heater.
Yeah.
And they told me last night, well, we'll come over and give you an estimate.
I'm on a bladder tank or everything?
An estimate. Remember, you got two lines, the inline, the outline. That's it. You have to do two fittings with shark bites.
Yep.
Okay.
And then the bladder tank.
And you've got to basically take, you know, the black and the white wire, hook it back up to the black and white wire, and you're done.
Right.
So this is literally.
You swap the one out my well.
Yeah, I did. I did yours, and I did your grants. It just takes 30 minutes. So they came in to give me an estimate this morning. The top water heater is about $600 for a good one.
That sounds about right.
Almost $2,000 to basically for the hot water heater to swap it out.
To install it?
$1,200 in labor for an hour and a half's worth of work.
Good golly.
I declined.
I was about to say, I'd get another bid on that.
I couldn't believe it.
That's a bit much.
No, I'm still in sticker shock. And I'm looking at the guy. I'm going, this is the
problem is what they do now is a lot of times they'll tell you if you don't use them to install it and you buy it from them and install it yourself, they won't warranty
it. That's what he told me.
Yep, that's exactly right.
Yeah.
So we can get it. I mean, you can install it, but if it goes something goes wrong in a year, they're going to say it's not a problem.
Well, then if you get it from one of the major stores, you just have them give you a 5-year warranty on it.
Yeah.
Because I mean, because it's literally hot water is and the hardest thing is getting the doggone thing drained down a well. Yeah. A lot of times it builds up with calcium. That becomes a real pain. Because then you got now it's 350 pounds of water and you can't drain it. That's a problem.
Remember I had that old Grove house? Mm-hmm. That one would I was like, solid, couldn't move it.
Solid
calcium.
Solid, yeah,
that was like 30-year-old, 40-year-old hot water heater.
We had to put on a dolly and roll it. We couldn't even carry it.
It felt like it was half a ton. I'm sure it wasn't that much, but it was.
I bet it was 400 pounds.
It was heavy.
Yeah, but it's amazing. It even works. I'm sorry about that. That's why I'm late. I was dealing with the plumber. Nice guy though, really nice guy. Nice, and I give him credit, man. They showed up first thing this morning.
Well, yeah, that's a rarity nowadays. The fact that he showed up on time is that's
well. No, I called up Lowe's and said, you got to swap out hot water because used to give you a vendor to do it.
Yeah,
and they said, yeah, we'll do that. We'll put you on the list. We need email information.
Oh yeah,
we need phone numbers. We need to open you up a portal. And I kept getting an AI. I literally called 4 or 5 times trying to get somebody on the telephone.
Really?
And finally they said, if you don't have an email, we won't do the work. Yeah. Well, you understand that the email is worth more money than the work is.
Oh, by far.
And the problem is I don't even check those emails anymore because I have hundreds and hundreds of spams a day. So I don't even bother with them. I'm a little bit behind on the Ted Brower one for you guys. But I just can't believe it. So forgive me. I'm a little bit of sticker shock this morning from somebody wanting, for our job, wanting, $1,400 in labor. Just kind of blew my mind.
And I thank you guys when you sign up for our weekly emails. I've never sold our
list. We don't
list.
Sell it.
I've had people try to harvest it. I have had people approach me and try to offer me good money for my list because it is a good, clean list with you guys. And I have not, will not ever sell it. I would delete it before I sold it because I respect everybody's privacy that much. I hate getting my information sold. I had that doggone dealer in Tampa 6 months ago when I was trying to do a vehicle deal. They sold my phone number. And I've been doing nothing but spam blocks and turning stuff on my phone. I don't get my phone number out. Give it to one place. We need your phone number. We'll call you back with a deal. Of course, they call me back with this asinine deal. Well, it's not the price online because you're not going to apply for this and this and this and this and this and this. And this rebate's not active anymore. I was like, dude, it was like a Bronco for somebody. They had at least for like $32,000. I was like, great deal for a brand new Bronco. Well, the best we could do is 48 out the door. It's like, lose my number. Oh, no, we won't do that. We just sold your number. I'm like, ugh, knock him out, dude.
No, it's just everything's turned into data harvest.
No, it is. It's a nightmare. Everybody wants your data all the time. Everything ties back
because
into your
it's
email.
Big money.
It's huge money.
Yeah.
It's pushing a $1 trillion industry by 2030, they say.
We won't change out your hot water heater unless you give us your email address, period.
Yeah.
Unless you set up a portal.
Yep.
Yeah. I don't. And then they had a big disclaimer with their AI. It said, "Oh, by the way, we have to have your phone number too, and we're going to send you all of this marketing information.
Yeah.
And if you decline, we can't do that. We can't change out your hot water.
If you opt out, basically you opt out of the terms and conditions.
Yes.
Too. Yeah."
And I'm sitting there going, this is not Kansas anymore.
I've been telling everybody that. With the data, man, it's data harvesting that everybody wants to data harvest everything now.
And whenever they send you a survey and they want to ask you a bunch of personal information on the survey, they used to send $1 with those.
Yep.
And I always said, okay, if they gave me $1, ooh, whatever, I'll fill it out. And, man, I was getting
these presumptive close.
No, it is.
It gets you to close.
So now I just open it up, take the dollar out, throw it away if there's a dollar in it.
Same thing. I don't do it anymore
because it's not worth it. It's not worth my time for a dollar.
A dollar? Mm-hmm. They're going to go sell that data for probably $15,000 to $20,000 as far as when they have an aggregate because it's going to sell, it's going to sell, it's going to sell, and it's going to sell.
I don't know if there's a cap on it.
There is not a cap. That's what that's the general basis of where it goes.
Until you change your phone number or change your email address.
Well, especially like the one we talked about when I bought the side-by-side. That thing was insane. I mean, it was like 500. It was like 500 question.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, pages on a 1 to 10 scale. How do you feel when you drive your side-by-side?
But my favorite one was the survey one I had. I wish I'd have kept that. I let a friend of mine borrow it, and he never gave it back. They sent me like a 100-page survey thing for the census. Yeah, for the census. I wonder how many people were in my household.
Did they try to force you to sign?
No, listen to this. They ended up. I've had to get attorneys involved. They tried to force me to, and they wanted to know. And I said, you don't have the right to know how many people are in my household who have been to college and what their college degrees are. That's not your right. You don't have any right to know that stuff. And you don't. And it was invasive. And I couldn't even believe it. I wish I'd have saved that. And I remember I called them up and I said, what are you guys doing? Well, we need that information. I said, no, you don't. You know how many people are in my household. That's all you need. No, we want all the rest of it. They sent somebody to the gate, and they're trying to call me at the gate. And I wouldn't even answer the telephone.
It was one of those things. It wasn't a normal census run like the average one. You got like selected for some monster one. Like you got randomly selected to fill out this huge survey. I mean, it was like a book. It was a book.
Every single person in my household and their entire education and all of the jobs they've ever had.
That was just warming up. I mean, it got way more detailed than that. I mean, they want to know every person that ever lived there and every place they had ever lived. They want all their addresses, the entire lifespan of them. I'm like, what is this?
Well, it's data collection. Yeah. You know, I just I'm not going to do all this. Oh, by the way, I got someone with the EyeSights yesterday. I tell you, that's a great product. Yeah. And I was picking up more, man.
People slept on it. It really wasn't a big hitter. A lot of people didn't really know much about it until people started taking it. Well, and Steve's actually one of the ones who really started pushing.
Well, what it is, you need to be using a blue filter on your iPad too. It turn off all the blue light because it really it wreaks havoc on the retina. Your body, your mind's not designed to stare into a screen all day. I have people say, well, I'd rather read on a screen than read a regular book. Ugh. Oh, no, I'd much rather read a regular book. And it's crazy how much stuff that we have to do here with all of that. But anyhow, so we're back to all this stuff. I'm still sitting here in sticker shock for, you know, $2,000 for a hot water heater that I can replace for $600 in 30 minutes of my time. So I think I'll be doing it myself again, since I know how to do it. And then I asked myself, can you at least hook up a hot water heater timer to me so it stays off and on, you know, doesn't run all day? Oh, I can't do that. That takes an electrician. And I'm like, oh, great, on top of everything else. Oh, by the way, the bullet, this is not a surprise to my listeners, to our listeners. The bullet used to kill Charlie Kirk did not match the rifle allegedly used by the suspect, Tyler Robbins, in Newport.
Whoa, where did that come out?
Daily Mail yesterday.
We knew it, but that fact that they're coming out saying it now.
Well, first of all, here's the thing. A 30-06. Okay, let me say
at 150 meters. Okay, get out of here, dude.
Let's slow down for a second. Okay, let's rewind. Somebody sitting there and somebody puts a bullet in his head, in his neck, right? We saw it. If we think we saw it, we don't know what we saw. And all of a sudden, there's a hole in his neck. It's easy enough to put another projectile in that hole.
Well, yeah, but the thing about it is all they had was a Mauser 98 that they linked to the kid. That was the only thing that tied in a round that they claimed.
You could take the round, you could shove it through the hole, say, oh, it didn't. Now the bullet won't be deformed. It'll be perfect.
30-06, a full metal jacket 30-06 ain't going to deform on a neck shot anyways. It's going to be fully preserved.
Well, and so
I mean, now, it's not going to sit there. It's going to go right through.
But that's the point, though. They don't fire. They did. Somebody else said that it was lapel. Something happened with the lapel. Because I see an explosion. He tipped over.
That's what they claim.
But I don't know.
When they claim that they found the full metal jacket 30-06 in his neck bone.
Well, what they do, it's easy enough if you get him in the he wasn't in an ambulance, remember? They threw him in a truck. And so it's easy enough to take that 30-06 slug and put it inside the hole that's already there. And now they find this bullet.
Bullet got stopped in his neck.
Well, his neck was so strong, it was a miracle. The skin stopped it. The bullet that killed conservative commentator Charlie Kirk does not match the rifle used by the suspected killer Tyler Robinson, a bombshell new court filing states. Robinson, 22, is facing capital murder charges. By the way, he didn't do this. And a potential death sentence for Kirk's murder. But the defense attorneys now argue that the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms and Explosives were unable to identify the bullet recovered at autopsy to the rifle tied to Mr. Robinson.
Wow. You know what? I got to commend ATF. I really do. Actually coming out with some factual evidence. Now, they actually did this and said, hey, listen, it doesn't match.
The defense team may now offer the ATF firearm analyst testimony as exculpatory evidence. They said in a motion filed on Friday to push the preliminary hearing back at least 6 months. It also notes that DNA reports filed by the Federal Bureau of the FBI and ATF will take time for the defense team to analyze. Of course it does. It's going to take another 6 years because reports indicated that several different DNA samples were also found in some of the evidence. In other words, it's all set up. As these cases indicate, determining the number of contributors to the DNA mixture, determining whether the FBI and the ATF reliably applied validated and correct scientific procedures, it is a complicated process which requires the assistance of various types of experts, including forensic biologists, geneticists, system engineers, and statisticians, all of whom must review and evaluate several different categories, the filing states. Robinson's attorneys added they have received about
two?
About 20,000 electronic audio files. Where did they get 20,000? No.
Robert, that means they scrubbed everything everywhere.
Every phone, every camera, everything.
Everything got scrubbed.
Okay. Robin's attorneys out of they've found, received 20,000 electronic audio files, videos, and written documents that prosecutors have presented as evidence in the case. You know what this reminds me of? This reminds me of the movie The Shooter.
Yeah.
With Mark Wahlberg. I watched that again the other night.
I talked to it with Hunter the other day. Fast forward.
Well, no, and listen to this. At like 8 minutes after the shooting, they get a full forensic evidence package delivered to their office. And the guy goes, you know, we're the government. We're good, but we're not that good. I think it was reverse azimuth, he called it. And he said, how did we get all of this stuff and all this technical data 8-12 minutes after the shooting?
They had the photos they took of him while he was doing the scouting for him and all the stuff in a full package. It's always funny when that happens.
No, it's nuts. The defense team has devoted and will continue to devote significant resources to processing, recovery, discovery, including identifying materials not yet received. More than 20,000 to inform readiness for preliminary hearing, the filing states. However, here's the other thing, too. Where is he getting the money for this defense team? Unless they really put a good group of people on it because they're working, you know, who's paying these guys?
He may have some weird GoFundMe people. I haven't looked at that. I don't know. I've looked them up.
What is known at present, Mr. Robinson has not yet received the forensic case files and data necessary to investigate through the use of qualified experts. The scientific reports the state intends to introduce at the preliminary meeting. Defense attorneys and prosecutors had previously met on March 12th. So this whole thing is turning into this giant boondoggle. Now,
it has been from the beginning.
Well, you know, you remember, I told you guys, I spoke with Roger Stone years ago now, and you know he had been basically prosecuted and he went to Congress, and they said he'd lied under oath, and he said he did not. But they misinterpreted it supposedly or whatever happened. I don't know. He did more than take the fifth. And that's why you're really careful. If you go under oath, guys, you got to be careful. It's easier to say fifth. And what ended up happening, because they can twist what you're doing and what you're saying, or they can get somebody else to say something different than you're saying. And he said they put 600 attorneys on him, against him.
Yes,
600 government attorneys came after him. And the same thing happened to our friend up in St. Louis, Austin.
Yep.
They sent a whole passel of attorneys against him, cost him millions and millions of dollars, pretty much bankrupted him, honestly. And couldn't believe it because he said the vitamin D was good for your immune system. That's all he said. Never made any claims about COVID. And they came after it full force. So when they come after you like this, it's mind-boggling. So here's the question. If they're coming after this quote-unquote transgender for this, which I don't believe he did it at all, that's my opinion, who in the world's paying for his defense?
Yeah, because I don't think a
court-appointed attorney.
Court-appointed attorney,
they don't have the kind of resources for this. I mean, but what they're doing is they don't want this case to go to trial. That's why this is going like this.
Oh, you're right.
They don't want the evidence presented.
They don't want anybody. Oh, by the way, we have a new witness we're calling to the standby now that came forward. All of a sudden, that wasn't him. I didn't see him on the roof up there. I was standing by the stairwell. Oh, crap. Where'd this guy come from? Because there were a lot of people there, dude. There are a lot of variables.
They don't want basically people giving testimony.
It's a lot easier to have a car bomb go off on the side of the road.
What we do is we push it down the road 3 or 4 years. Everybody forgets about it. I hate to say that, but they will. They may remember their vague memory that Charlie Kirk got shot. They won't remember a lot of the details. And then they say, okay, he took a plea bargain. You know, rather than go into court and stay in court for another 10 years, he took a plea bargain. You know, it's going to be time served or he'll get 5 years in prison or whatever. You know, it's amazing to me. Yesterday, this week, there was a guy named Schwartz.
Yep.
And he defrauded a bunch of nursing homes. He had a bunch of – he got. You remember this story? He got like $38 million, got state filings and everything else on him. State was after him. Federal government was after him. Trump pardoned him this week.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
In the middle of all this stuff, that was the priority right now.
He's a rabbi.
Oh, I was going to say pedo.
Well, I don't
same
know.
Thing. I should have said that.
No, I didn't say that.
No,
all rabbis are not pedo.
I should have said that. You're right. I was incorrect with that.
But that was a slip. He did not mean that. We did not say that. That is deletion here. And with the funny part about it is Trump pardoned him, and I saw it yesterday on the Daily Mail, and I thought to myself, well, he defrauded people out of $38 million, and so he was in prison in the state.
Yeah.
Okay? So state, you remember, a federal pardon doesn't get you out of the state jail.
Ooh, okay, yeah, no.
And when he got his federal pardon, they immediately basically gave him time served, and they paroled him.
There you go.
Out of the state.
There you go.
$38 million. Oh, and he donated $1 million to Trump's campaign.
Well, now I will say this.
Oh, you hear that? He had donated a bunch of money to Trump's campaign.
I will say this. And I will retract the guarantee, but I will say this. High probability, he was probably involved with Epstein and Trump. I will say that. Considering the fact that you're going to go out of your way to pardon this guy in the middle of this Iran conflict when you make sure nobody knows it happens, you want to talk about shoving it to the bottom of the news list. Yeah.
You know,
I got a really cool article here. This can affect a lot of people. It's going to be intriguing for other people. And this is just great information to know if you've got friends or family. New article just came out now, and it says very, very specific nutrients may be helpful for autistic kids. Here's why. It says children with autism have a much higher need for certain nutrients, though when it comes down to specifics, every child is different. And it goes into detail here how children that have been hit with autism, they need a couple specific nutrients that you really got to make sure you're getting to them on a regular basis and a high quality. That's my key phrase here, high quality. Not Flintstone vitamins from Walmart, not Great Value brand from Sam's. High quality methylated vitamins that their body can actually absorb, because this is one of the issues. A lot of times children that are autistic, they don't have specific gene markers that can break down methylated vitamins, or they can't break down regular vitamins normally. They need to be methylated. And so the part of what it's talking about here says one of the key deficiencies is vitamin B12 in almost all autistic kids. From the Nova Southeastern University, found that the brains of children with autism, almost all of them, showed vitamin B12 levels in the frontal cortex comparable to those of adults. 50 deficiencies in B12 were critical during the early brain development. They said low-nutrient autistic kids is very, very common. Now, this can also be from an absorption standpoint, like I just talked about as well. So here's on the post here. It says children with autism have less specific nutrients. The first one on here, vitamin B9, low 5-MTHF. How many have we talked about now about folate, how folate is so important for the brain? Glutathione. Active glutathions are less than 21% lower in blood on average with children that are autistic. Vitamin B12, levels in the frontal cortex compared to over 50-year-olds. They're saying the B12 levels in average autism kids are those between 50 to 60 years old. B12, they're through the floor on most cases on blood work. Sulfates, low in the blood, higher amounts are excreted in the urine. They said, glutathione levels are low and oxidative stress is high. Other necessary processes such as methylation can be affected. Methylation is a process that children need to activate brain developing genes. Sulfation helps the body identify and remove toxins. Both of these are very low markers in autistic children. It's exactly what I just talked about, the methylation. They've got to have methylated B vitamins for the body to take in and absorb properly. So for example, B12 is the easiest one. The vast majority of almost all supplements on the product are cyanide cobalamin B12, meaning they are not methylated. The body has to break them down and methylate them in the liver. And generally, for the average person, they only get about 30% of that B12 that they take in after the cyanide molecule is broken off.
Maximum.
That's 30. Like 30%. Now, if you're dealing with an individual that can't methylate things properly and they're autistic, those numbers are significantly lower. They don't have them here, but I would probably recommend it's probably in the low single digits.
It's probably less than 5%.
Yeah. The amount that they're going to absorb is minimal. That's why their bodies are so low in it. So it says promising nutrients, B12. Around half the children showed improvements with fewer repetitive behaviors, more social interactions, and better maintenance of eye contact after they've been on B12 for 12 weeks. 5-MTHF, that's folate. That's the methyl tetrahydrofolate. Again, the one we carry is methylated.
It was one of these types of products that Kennedy was pushing.
That's exactly right.
Couldn't get it approved.
The folate product. They go on to say, researchers show that MTHF is better absorbed than folic acid. Exactly what I said. It is critical. If you take folic acid, for example, like those found in wheat and flour, it pretty much does nothing for you. It's not, the body can't even do much of it. If folic acid is not converted, high doses become harmful to the body. They show here now the increased levels of folate, massive impacts on brain health. N-acetylcysteine. I mean, this is a staple, guys. This is a product that should be in everybody's arsenal. Glutathione is the body's main defense against stress. But children with autism have a depleted store. Insufficient glutathione can set back children's development as the body uses up fuel stores for brain development and detoxification. N-acetylcysteine is the most common supplemented form of glutathione. We talk about it all the time.
It's a precursor.
Right. Mm-hmm. Methyl analysis of trials on NAC and children with autism found reductions in irritability and hyperactivity, as well as improvements in social awareness. Another one's on here. Imagine that. I want you guys, give me camera four. vitamin D and omega-3 fatty acids and carnitine, an amino acid involved in energy metabolism, also showed promise in improving behavior symptoms. Omega-3 fats and D3. So I'm giving you guys some helpful advice on this. If this is something you're dealing with, family's dealing with it, friends are dealing with it. I know it affects a lot of people. I'm getting a lot of emails on this now. Here's some very simplistic things that I can recommend as something to try. Not going to hurt anybody. They're great supplements. If you they don't want to take them later, they can't take them later, you can always take them. It doesn't hurt anybody to up their dose of D3, you know, B12, and NAC. So that's my stance on that. What's your thoughts on all this?
If you don't have the proper nutrients, your brain doesn't work. And if a child has autism and it's affecting the absorption and the uptake of certain nutrients, they're not going to develop properly from a neurological standpoint. Yesterday was so funny. I'm cleaning out my attic. If you guys have ever done something like that, have fun with it. And I found an old diary that I had written when I was 8.
That's kind of a little treasure box right there, bro. That's crazy.
I was 8. I was 8, yeah. 8 years old. I was in love with some girl in class.
Oh, gosh. 8. This is like third grade.
I was like, hey, yeah, third grade. I think I was in fourth grade because they put me ahead of year. And
you sound so salty about that stuff.
No, I am. I still am.
Because you can't do anything about it.
No.
Now.
Well, no. Here's the thing. You know, a child's brain, especially a young boy's brain, it doesn't really like to process mathematics until you get around 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14.
Yeah, that's about right.
So when they throw you in a classroom a year ahead of everybody else, and all of a sudden they want you to do the multiplication tables and all the rest of the stuff, you're kind of like, I don't want to do this. I'd rather go play with a game.
Yeah.
You know, your brain's not really ready for that. You're still in that theta brainwave state thinking everything's a joke.
Yeah.
Okay. So
you're Iron Man.
You're Iron Man. You know, I'm Superman. I tie a cape around my neck and I jump off the garage. I'm lucky I'm alive. And, you know, I'm fighting water moccasins trying not to die. I learned real quick they were real. They're aggressive little creatures, those things are. But the point is, all of this stuff, I was reading by diary at 8. I'm writing in cursive.
Yeah, you're probably the only one left. I used to write cursive.
And this is not Jack and Jill went uphill. I'm writing things about how bad my mom's going to be because of my math grades. I'm 8 years old. And I'm thinking to myself, really, Ted, you were doing this at 8? And I thought to myself, this is really odd. I mean, how in the world? And now, if you look at this nowadays, these kids are raised on iPads. They don't even know how to write in cursive.
Cursive? They don't even know how to write freehand.
And here's the crazy part. All my spelling was correct.
That's pretty impressive.
And man. I'm 8.
Yeah.
But of course, wow. Remember, it was a year after that, when I was 9, I was reading at 375 words a minute.
Yeah.
Now, you say, well, that has a lot to do with genetics and, you know, and IQ and all that. I agree, it does. But the point is, it also has to do with the fact that we've dumbed our children down. That's why the IQ points are lower, Austin.
Yeah.
We put them on a doggone iPad. They don't know how to read, you know, unless they're using an iPad. They don't know how to spell. They don't know how to write cursive. They don't even know how to think. All they know how to do is punch buttons on an iPad and burn out their retinas.
Oh, and don't forget, get insane amount of shots every 6 months is their entire upbringing.
Well, yeah, well,
don't forget that one.
Remember, we didn't get shots back then. We didn't have to do it. But I'm going to go back to this guy. This nursing home guy is a real he's
cursive,
a real heat.
Cursive, man. Cursive today is pretty impressive.
I'll show you.
I believe you. But the sad part is now, you get the spelling with the younger generation. And I get it. It gets everybody now with auto fix and all that. But do you talk to most kids nowadays? They have no idea if they have to spell something.
And I said to their... My mom's going to, if I make a bad grade in math, my mom's going to kill me. I'm writing this stuff down. And obviously, if she didn't kill me, I'm here. But the point is the mind of an 8-year-old, right? In cursive. I mean, my handwriting was better then than it is now. How pathetic is that?
That's probably okay. True.
But this nursing home owner got Trump's pardon, and the families of his patients got nothing. What he did, and you see this all the time, that he came in and he basically borrowed a bunch of money against the nursing homes.
That's what my one doctor told me all the time, Missouri. Yep.
And what he did, he turned around and then took all the cash out and then made the nursing home pay the bills. Then he had to cut the cost of the nursing home and cut their care. And this one lady was in there, she had Parkinson's, and it says, nothing by mouth, she can't swallow. And they fed her scrambled eggs. Well, then they found her an hour later hanging over the bed, you know, dead.
Well, that's horrible.
Okay? No, it's horrible. So they sued him. And so then they, after, you know, this and that, that's in September, a nursing assistant found Colson unresponsive and hanging off the side of the bed. Her skin ashy or breathing shallow. Well, she wasn't quite dead. She was taken to the hospital in a coma and died several days later. The chief cause of death was aspiration pneumonia, according to her death certificate, because she was fed eggs. The doctor said they found scrambled eggs in her lungs. Colson's death and the circumstances surrounding it led her family to file a lawsuit against Skyline and its owner, the New Jersey businessman Joseph Schwartz, who also is a rabbi. And I've noticed a lot of these guys who do this want the tax benefits of having a nonprofit. And
yep.
I can't say that because a lot of Christians do the same thing, and I'm just wrong. And so because now he's a rabbi and he probably owned a doggone synagogue, they get a big tax break. Just saying. Alleging that cost-cutting at Hillview left Colson without the care she needed. It was one of several lawsuits tied to the patient outcomes as Schwartz's empire expanded and then unraveled. Schwartz didn't contest the case. In other words, he didn't spend any money on defending himself. Right? And a judge in 2020 awarded $19 million in damages. Colson's family has never collected a penny. Schwartz had, by that time, because he never contested the case, relinquished all of his property in Arkansas.
There you go.
So there was nothing left in the state for the family's lawyer to seize, nor was there enough information about the assets he may hold in other states. Colson's civil action is one of several efforts to hold Schwartz accountable for what happened in the nursing home, and perhaps the most sweeping move, federal prosecutors in New Jersey charged Schwartz with orchestrating $39 million in payroll tax scheme connected to the nursing home empire. He stopped paying income tax for his employees, Austin. And the rest of us that did something, we'll all be in jail the rest of our lives.
Yeah.
He pleaded guilty last April to failure to pay IRS taxes within the withheld from employees and failing to file a financial report for his employees' benefit plan. The federal judge sentenced him to 3 years in prison. But Schwartz served 3 months. In November, President Donald Trump granted him a full pardon, negating his criminal conviction. Part of a series of domestic decisions in the president's second term have been benefited well-connected defendants, including political allies with access to the White House and individuals like Schwartz who had spent heavily on lobbyists, like almost $1 million, I said. Often overshadowed in the attention around Trump's decision is the emotional and financial devastation left behind. For few clemency decisions illustrate that more than clearly that the case of Schwartz, who paid himself millions of dollars, you know, borrowing the money from his nursing home homes, while diverting tens of millions owed to taxpayers and employees, who has failed to satisfy at least three multi-million dollar judgments awarded to grieving families. In the Colson case, Schwartz later claimed he never received key filing. No, so I let you read the rest of this stuff, but I'm looking at this stuff going, unbelievable. Okay, she also, listen to this. You ready? Drum roll. Remember. Okay, the attorney also accused the judge of the case of anti-Semitism against Schwartz.
Oh, here we go. Here we go. When all else fails, pull the anti-Semite card.
She also accused the judge of the case of anti-Semitism against Schwartz, who is Jewish, though she offered no evidence. She also said Schwartz was in extremely poor health and that the prison would be a death sentence, though the judge found no evidence that he was unfit for prison. You know,
else fails, dig that rock up. We got a Nazi over here. Dig him up. Dust him off. Put him in the corner.
Schwartz paid more than $1 million to lobbyists to press the White House, the Justice Department, and Congress on his behalf, including on his efforts to secure a pardon, according to lobbying disclosure forms. The White House has insisted that paid lobbyists have no influence on pardons. You know, I mean, I don't even know what to say about this stuff. I mean, I'm just looking at it. This goes on and on. I'm not going to belabor it. I already have. But the point is, how in the world is there justice being done to the families of the victims who died in those nursing homes when this guy has all of these assets in all these other states and you know he's got it buried everywhere and nobody can collect anything and their families are dead? But he got a pardon and served 3 months of his sentence. And he stole hundreds of millions of dollars, probably. Who knows? I don't know.
It's become a racket with that. I got a good customer, good listener. He's a doctor out in Missouri. And he's told me the nursing homes are the new racket with the equity firms. They do this exact thing with all of them. They're going in, they're buying them up. They're stripping all the cash out of them. Then they're basically making the nursing home like lease the land back to them, pay money on it. And they're generating all this revenue for themselves while the nursing home goes to crap. And then they basically sell it. Dump it at the end to some poor soul.
Okay. Here's my segue into health. You guys listening? Stay out of the stinking nursing homes.
Well said. The best you possibly can.
Now listen to me. You say, well, I can't help it if I get sick and I've got to go to a hospital and put me in a nursing home. No. You make sure that whoever's in charge of you, whoever has power of attorney of you, know that unless you're comatose and you don't know where you are anymore, you're basically brain dead,
right.
You're not going to a nursing home. Now listen to me, friends. I realize that a lot of you have multifamily homes and you've got all kinds of people living with you and everything else. Is it really that big of a deal if you take your dad or your mom who's sick or doesn't feel good, let them stay in the upstairs bedroom? You know, this is good. This went on for generations of time. I mean, do you really have to put them in a nursing home and go visit them every 6 years? Is that really something you need to do to your mom and dad who raised you? Hey, look, let me say something to you. Your parents never got an instruction manual for you. I saw a thing yesterday. It was really interesting. It said the four people you need to forgive, you know, in your life if you're ever going to have peace. And it said, number one, you got to forgive your parents. Your parents didn't get an instruction manual. They don't know what they were doing. Nobody knows what they're doing with their parents. They really don't. We all make mistakes. That's number one. Number two, it says you got to forgive every ex-spouse and every ex-girlfriend you ever had or every ex-boyfriend who may have hurt you. And number three, you've got to learn to forgive yourself. It's very, very important that you forgive yourself or anybody else, number four, who's ever offended you and done you wrong. And it said something very interesting in this. It said the forgiveness is not for the other person because they could care less. They're sleeping at home with a pillow pulled over their head. They're just chilling out, and they're not thinking about you at all. You're stressed out, mad at them. You're giving yourself all kinds of horrible diseases because your cortisol is all straight. I mean, you know, they're sleeping at home. You know, like a little
they're snoring, passed out.
Yeah,
and you're over there laying in bed up all night.
Yeah, you're raising your cortisol. You're raising hell in your brain. Saying, I can't believe they did that to me, and they're sleeping like a baby. They don't care. They've already done it to 100 other people. They don't care. They don't care what you think. So the forgiveness is not for them. It's for you. When you forgive them and say, Father, please forgive them for what they've done. I forgive them for what they've done. I'm going to walk in love and forgiveness all the days of my life. And you're nice to them. And you just, that's it. You let it go. Now you say, well, that's a lot easier said than done. That's true. If you've got somebody who's done you wrong over and over and over and over again, you can forgive them. But sometimes, especially if they're people that you thought were friends and they're not, you kind of don't need to associate with them again. If every time you call them up, you have to come get them out of jail. They're not really picking up the pace here. They're not really learning what needs to be learned. They're not taking their time to figure out how to make changes. Instead of, like Ron said, I will quote Ron again, instead of going through first grade and kindergarten and first grade and second and third and fourth and fifth, they keep repeating kindergarten every year. It's the same thing. They get kindergarten every year, and they get a little plaque for kindergarten, and then next year they get another little plaque for kindergarten, and they never get past that. And they make the same stupid mistakes over and over and over. And it's always, I mean, it's always somebody else's fault, period. And you think about it, you go, how in the world can this be possible? How in the world did this happen to me? The reality is it just happens to everybody like that. Everybody's got somebody in their past that's got them mad. Lady sits on the front porch all coiled up in, you know, arthritis, and I can't believe what my granddaddy did to me, or my daddy did, or my mama did. I can't believe what my uncle used to do. I can't believe this stuff. And that's all she thinks about. And now all she does is elevate cortisol, her stress hormone, all the time. Her body stops digesting nutrients to a certain major extent because the cortisol stays so high. It's because of fleet, because she's in a fight or flight syndrome all the time. Because remember, if you step out of the door, which we don't have to really deal with this, if you walk outside, all of a sudden there's a doggone velociraptor walking around. Okay?
That's pretty wild, dude.
Well, but I had to make everybody listen for a second. Everybody knows what a velociraptor
you got goes around. Attention.
Okay. Now there's
or grizzly bear.
Let's do velociraptor.
Velociraptor. All right. We're going there.
All of a sudden, now you're sitting there and you got a 50 caliber Barrett. Okay.
Oh, we're going there. Okay.
Oh, yeah. You got a 50 caliber Barrett and the velociraptor's looking at you. And you got the gun and it's loaded. It's chambered. Safety's off. And you raise the gun to shoot the velociraptor, which will blow him in half, by the way. And you sit there and you go, if I miss, I'm in trouble. He's going to pounce. And about that time, you're going to have an unbelievable adrenaline dump. So you probably need to get that round off before you start shaking from the adrenaline.
Fact.
Okay?
You start breathing heavy.
So you better calm your little butt down. You better start breathing slow. You better pause your breath for 1 second when you squeeze off. And that all has to be done within a millisecond because that velociraptor ain't going to play. Well, now, you shoot him. You walk back into the office and you go, I just had to deal with a velociraptor. Okay? And now you're like that. And you're going, okay, this is great. He's dead. I wonder if he has any buddies out there. Well, here you go. Now we got to deal with buddies and more velociraptors outside. So that's what happens to you when you've got bitterness and anger and hatred towards somebody. It's a bunch of velociraptors running around outside. But here's the problem. Then you find out all the rest of the velociraptors are in a cage somewhere at the zoo, and they can't get to you and they can't get out. But every night you think about them, and you're staying stressed out every single night because you're afraid of a velociraptor to sneak in your bedroom in the middle of the night and eat you.
Now, I'm not going to lie. If I did have a direct engagement with a velociraptor and I took him out of the 50 caliber, I'd probably be a little bit more paranoid about velociraptors.
Me too. But the point is, that's why you have to forgive everybody around you that did you wrong, because if you don't, you have that constant flight or flight adrenaline. Now, when that happens, you elevate cortisol. When you elevate cortisol, you have what's called ischemic redistribution. Your blood flow changes. In other words, you stop digesting your food. The blood goes to your outer extremities. You can run because you can fight or flight, run or fight. And so now all of a sudden, you're not digesting food. You're not creating digestive enzymes. You're not producing hydrochloric acid. That's why your gut gets upset when you're under stress, because you're not digesting your food.
Throw up.
Okay? And you feel like you're going to throw up all the time. And so now you live like that for 15 years because you're pissed off that your aunt did something, your uncle did something to you. And all you think about is that. That's why I said, forgive your parents, forgive anybody who's done anything wrong with you, forgive your spouses or anybody you ever dated, and forgive, you know, and forgive yourself, and realize that you've made mistakes too, and realize that we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us, that this is the day the Lord hath made, and we will walk in love and forgiveness. And people say, well, I won't forgive them. Well, God forgave you, didn't he? Yeah, I'm going to stop for a second. Did he forgive you? He so loved you that he sent his son, Christ, to die on a cross for you so that his blood would create a forever covenant with you and continue to restore your DNA back to that of the Father. He was willing to give himself up for you to prove his love. I covered this in Angel Wars. Make sure you understand that. He's the example that we have. When Abraham was asked to sacrifice Isaac on the very same slopes that Jesus was going to be crucified on several thousand years later, God stopped Abraham because he wasn't doing it. He was using his foreshadowing to show that he was willing to do it. Abraham did not have to. It was all a foreshadowing of, I'm going to do this for you, for the people that I love, for my creation. Well, if God loves you that much, he could do it, and we're supposed to be Christ-like and live like Jesus lived and do what he asked us to do. Walk in love with your friends that you got mad at. Somebody did something to you 25 years ago, call them up. Say, hey, Joe. Hey, Mary. I want to say hi. Miss not seeing you. Hope you've had a great life. And they're probably going to get mad at you and hang up anyhow. I'm just going to say, they probably don't want to talk to you anyhow. But the point is, it's not for them. It's for you. Now, you're walking in love, and somebody says, how's Joe and Mary doing? Well, I talked to Joe a little while ago. He seems to be all right. Oh, good old Joe. That's it. Instead of, I hate Joe. He's awful. You know, don't do that. Learn how to walk in love. Easier said than done. But God did it. He was our example. Always remember that. It lowers cortisol. It helps you absorb nutrients. It helps you to feel better. It helps you to stay out of the stinking nursing home. If for any other reason you do it for that. You don't want to go to a nursing home, especially with these clowns doing what they're doing now, also with these equity firms. What a mess.
Well, and this is what I wanted to cover. You know, you made a valid point that I kind of wanted to spin off of a second ago. You said, you know, do your best, especially if you have the ability to do so now, with family, with loved ones, to try to keep them out of that medical industrial complex, especially the nursing homes. That also, I'm just going to say this, that also puts requirements on your family as they get older, that they take care of themselves the best they can.
That's right.
You know, it's not fair to kids either if they got to go take care of their 70-year-old dad that's laying on the couch and won't get up.
No.
That's unbelievably unhealthy.
Well, no.
How did you go buy this and do this for
them? Their 50-year-old dad.
Yeah.
Because the 50-year-old dad's never taken care of himself.
No, and they got to support him. They got to take care of him. They got to take him to the doctor's office 6 times a week so he can go get his drugs at Publix 7 times a week and get medications filled every single day because he don't want to take care of himself. It goes both ways with that because I agree with you. Staying out of the system is, like, mandatory now. So if you're young, your responsibility to take care of your family. If you're older, it's your responsibility to take care of you, especially as you get older.
Take care of yourself.
Take care of yourself. Mm-hmm. Take care of yourself the best you can. And you know how to do so. Stay off the pharma drugs. Stay off the junk food. Stay off heavy amounts of sugar.
Exercise.
Get sleep and exercise. This is a great article here that I was going through, and it's talking about the top 10 self-induced causes of disease. And it's one of the first ones here as far as getting into the number game as far as with blood work. Now, it's important to see, like, okay, what's my blood sugar? What's this? Checking it. But also, too, not to get so wrapped up with, oh, this critical range is here. Talking about the statins. Oh, your cholesterol's at 202. My opinion, the more I've seen it personally, I personally think statins are one of the problem because they're the number one prescribed drug on the market. I personally think they're probably the number one prescribed drug for early onset disease. I really do.
Causing it.
Because they cause so many health problems in the body. The next one here.
Skeletal muscle necrosis.
Yeah.
Messes up your kidneys.
I mean, I showed you guys Google. It says, yes, statin drugs directly decrease testosterone production in males. The next one here says, critique caloric consumption. This is important. We talk about all the time. It's not about going on a diet. It's about eating healthy, not eating massive amounts of unhealthy food with sugar and unhealthy fat, salt, preservatives.
Not taking in 10,000 calories a day.
Right. And eating a bunch of processed omega-6 fatty acids that are going to cause inflammation, that are going to cause arthritis, that are going to cause everybody to have to cater to you and take you to the doctor 5 times a week because you got debilitating arthritis because you won't stop eating bread, pasta, sugar, and beer every night, and you won't take turmeric and joint rebuilding formula. It's always wild to me, and I've seen this across the board with every age spectrum, how some people, they want to live how they want to live, eat how they want to eat, be as sick as they can all the time, don't care, and it's everybody else's responsibility to cater to them 24/7. He's like, I've got this disease. Well, how about you do this? I can't do that. I'm not changing my diet. I like my 2 liters of soda, my double, XL pizza every single day.
I'm going to say something, and I'm not trying to step on toes today. I've already stepped on a whole bunch already. I'm not trying to do
stop,
that.
Stop.
No, here's the thing. If you weigh 500 pounds, okay, and you've got an AR-15. I'm going to be real now.
Yeah.
Okay? And you're on the couch, and you're on 20 different medications, and on insulin, and the power goes out. How are you going to keep your insulin refrigerated? I'm just asking you a question. Well, I've got a backup generator with 20 gallons of gas. Okay. What happens when 20 gallons of gas runs out?
That's 2 days.
Yeah. What are you going to do with your insulin? How are you going to have insulin in the refrigerator so you can inject it? What are you going to do? When someone's coming to your house, how are you going to get up and move in order to defend your family? You're 500 pounds. You take 20 steps, you're going to be out of air.
Yeah.
What are you going to do? Well, you could sit up in a crow's nest if you get up to it.
Yeah, good.
The stairs don't break. You try to get to it.
Well, that's what it says here. Number three to prevent disease: mandatory movement.
Yeah,
exercising. Because you have to move. It decreases disability, depression, death, and even dementia. The more you actually stay active and exercise. This doesn't mean, oh, I got to. We talked about it. I'm going to spend 5 hours in the gym every night. That's no.
20 minutes.
You increase your inflammation way too much, and in long term, it's not healthy for. Especially when you start getting older and you're not 18 years old anymore. It says it's not difficult. It doesn't require going to boot camp. You just need to move healthy ways. Stamina, strength, balance, flexibility. Another one on here says adverse harmful habits such as inactivity, staring at social media all the time.
Overeating.
Just sticking away from those certain things.
Anger. It says anger, Austin.
I'll get to another one in a second. It says meticulously manage money in minutes. This is a big one. Talking about don't get in massive debt for things that aren't going to basically be able to hold value. This goes into a lot of detail here with not buying vehicles that are going to depreciate rapidly or not going to buy these monster houses that are going to take $10,000, $20,000 a month in maintenance, deferred maintenance. Seen it, been there, around it.
I've got some friends who went and looked at castles over in Europe.
Maintenance, man.
And, and they were thinking about putting a bid on one. But price wasn't too bad. Well, the reason for that is called deferred maintenance. Had over almost $2 million in deferred maintenance, things that had to be upgraded once you bought the place if you wanted to make it look like it wasn't falling down.
Well, it's funny you say that. That's houses. It's cars.
$2,000 hot water heater. How about that?
A buddy of mine, a while back ago, I told him not to buy it. He didn't buy it. It was like an older Rolls Royce. Like a 2012 Rolls-Royce Phantom.
Beautiful car.
Beautiful car. He's going to be able to pick it up for like 90 grand. I'm like, it's $500,000 car, brand new, 15 years ago.
The radiator's 20 grand.
You know, the automatic door, because, they push a button, the door closes real slick. Just the motor on that's $12,000 when it goes out. He goes, yeah. You buy one of these cars. He goes, it's just a money hole.
You guys have any idea what an oil change on a Bugatti is?
Oh, yeah.
What is it?
$36,000.
For an oil change.
16 drain holes, all dry sump. You got to let it sit there and drain for two days.
You know the thing that makes me mad about this? It reminds me of the Tiger tanks. Okay?
Tiger tanks. We'll go back to World War II. Let's do it.
No, let's go back to World War II. They couldn't keep them on the field because they were too technically advanced. They were too. And then the Russian comes in with, I think it was a T-38 or whatever it was. I forgot what it was. And basically, it was nothing. They were popping them off the assembly line. They couldn't keep the Tigers running because they were too. So,
but they were hard armored up, boy.
Well, the reason I say about Bugatti is that's basically owned by Volkswagen, which is owned by Germans.
And needlessly complex.
Yeah. What? Okay, Germany.
It's a quad turbo W16.
Germany. Why do you need 36 oil plugs? Honestly, why can't you design it not to do that? Well, I know you like to make Tiger tanks, but what the heck?
280 mile an hour top speed confirms pretty intense.
Yeah, with the spoilers down.
Yeah, that's on a close track, close circuit.
Now it wants to turn into an airplane.
Anyways, last thing, it says give gifts, basically help others. That's a huge one. Being positive and helping others. Jim Rohn used to say that. You can pretty much get anything you want in life if you help enough other people get what they want in life.
Oh, you're quoting Eleanor Roosevelt, hardcore communist.
Are they really? I didn't read that part.
She's another weirdo.
We'll digress from that. It says forgive friends, family, foes, and yourself.
There you go.
Back right in what you were saying on here. It says passionately pursue purpose and priorities. That's another thing I've noticed all the time is you've got to have goals. What does it say? Well, I forgot what book that is.
Without a vision, my people perish. Proverbs.
Yes. Mm-hmm. You got to have a vision. You got to have goals. You got to have purpose. You got to have priorities. You got to have something to focus on. Another one here says, stifle stress and sever suffering. Meaning, you don't get needlessly stressed all the time. Everybody pretty much knows, if you go back and look at your life, about 90% of what you stress about
never happens. Well, I like that set where it says sever suffering.
Yeah.
I mean, think about it. I think of stress as a conflict between my inner self and the wants of life, of peace, of joy, and love, and my ego that is driven by power, prestige, and possessions. That's stuff. Guys,
that's actually a well said statement.
Pastor Reich said a couple weeks ago, he said, you know, the stuff, man. He goes, you got all the stuff all the time. He goes, do you need all the stuff? Give some of the stuff away.
Read that again. That's actually spot on. I think of stress as a conflict between my inner self that wants a life of peace, joy, and love.
The Holy Spirit.
Those are all things of Jesus, right? And my ego that's driven by power, prestige, and possessions. How many times has stuff gotten you stressed out? Like we just talked about. Oh my gosh, my Bugatti needs a $36,000 oil change, and I don't have a Bugatti, so don't write me letters
on
that.
I totally got it.
You're like, oh, I got to put that on this.
I told the guys warning. I said, my hot water heater is still working. I don't need to spend $2,000 to replace it. Well, you're here for 30 minutes for swapping out a hot water heater for me. I have to cough up $2,000 or you won't cover the warranty if I don't buy it from you. And I'm like, what am I doing here?
This well, I want this castle. I bought this castle. You're buying the castle. The roof starts leaking. They go, oh, here's your bid. It's going to be $250,000 for a new roof on this castle.
It was more. It was $500,000.
Yes. There you go. So again, there's stress between life of peace and joy and possessions and ego. My castle needs a new roof now. This is stressful.
I'll never forget. I had a guy buy a big whole house down there in Palm Beach. And this is 30 years ago. I'll never forget. He was one of the guys with the seminar circuit.
Yeah.
And his payments were $250,000.
$250,000 a month.
Month.
Yep. Crazy house.
He ended up losing the house. Anyway, went into an IRS forced tax sale.
Well, yeah. You hit that point where, by the way, 8 of your 12 air handlers went out today. We don't know why. 8 of them went out one day. God. It's going to be about, $70,000 to $80,000 to swap them out for you. You're like, why are they all 5 and 6 tons?
And that's on top of the $250,000 a month you're already paying.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
It was 5 acres on the water, and he had a security guard gate right at the front. They had to give all this information every time he came in. He had 2 glass elevators that had to be polished constantly. They were brass on both ends of this 38,000-square-foot mansion on the water that was like 4 stories high. Sure, I never saw the place, but I saw pictures of it. And I thought to myself, when he bought it, I thought, that's going to be fun to maintain.
The last one on here, it says, periodically pause, ponder, plan, and pray.
All the P's.
I like that. Sometimes you got to take a step back and just pause. Sometimes you got to enjoy stuff. Sometimes you got to plan. You got to knuckle down. And sometimes you just got to pray and say, God, this one's on you. I'm not figuring this one out. I need some help with it. But again, at the end of the day, maintain your mental health. Maintain your physical health. Maintain and try to encourage the health of others around you the best you can. Be a positive influence on them, especially if you got family that's dealing with something. They're having a health issue. Be there and support them and do the best you can, especially if they listen. Now, again, at some point, you got to knock the dust off your feet. If you got family, they refuse to stop eating pork. They refuse to stop drinking soda. They refuse to take care of themselves, and they want you to support them. That's on you. I'm not going to give you advice on that.
Well, they come back when they're old and decrepit. They say, take care of me
now. That's why I said there's a balance of that. So, again, encourage your family to live a life of health. That's what we try to do here at Health Masters. We do the best we can to encourage you, support you, and provide you the highest quality supplements like the Purple Sticks in a can. Everybody's been blowing me up for wanting this week. I've been shipping these out left and right.
I have another one in a few minutes because I'm geeked up today. I finally caught up with you.
This batch is strong. I don't know if the scooper got bigger. They made it strong. As soon as I came in, I was like, whoa. Those hit. And so these are the same way. These are strong too. But the can, I think, because I spent so much more money on making sure, I said the volume of this can, when I told them, I said the volume of this can, I want it maxed. They're like, there's going to be a lot of raw material. I said, I don't care. I get it. Some cans, you got to have some space in them because you got to be able to get scoopers out. Small scooper in here. I can't stand it when you get a can this big. You're like, oh yeah. You open it up and you're like, what happened to it all?
Or they put a false bottom in it.
Yeah.
That's the fun part.
Well, then a lot of chip companies now have done this. The chip bags are still this big. You open them up, and there's about a quarter of the bags full of chips now. They puff them up full of air. Mm-hmm. That's what they've done now as far as to save cost on. They just reduced volume inside. You just don't pay attention to the number on it. So accordingly on that. You guys, I appreciate you, my friends. Team Health Masters. Be sure to check out the Purple Stick packets on sale. and get the truth out there every single day. If you guys need anything, we're here to help you out at healthmasters.com. Have a safe evening. Stay strong. We'll talk to you on the show tomorrow.
Love you guys. Thanks for your prayers. We're praying for you, and thanks for your support. Without you guys, we wouldn't be here. Keep your hearts and minds in Christ all the days of our lives. I love you guys.